Wait a second, Jim Sherman, you're telling me that the First Lady of Television is not Lucille Ball?
Right. And that may be the only question you have to ask.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 978, Television's First Lady. James Sherman's new play, The First Lady of Television, is having its world premiere at Chicago's Northlight Theater, directed by Northlight's artistic director B.J. Jones, and starring Cindy Gold as Gertrude Berg. Performances begin this week, and Jim Sherman sat down with me as rehearsals began to explain who Gertrude Berg was and why we don't know her better than we do.
Gertrude Berg, in her day, was the second most famous woman in America, second only to Eleanor Roosevelt.
Wow. So this is the day we're talking about, late 40s, early 50s? Right.
Well, even before that, she created, wrote every episode, and starred in a show called The Goldbergs, which was on radio throughout the 30s and 40s. In the very early days of television then, she was approached to put this show on television. This is 1949, 1950. And it was a huge hit. She actually invented the family sitcom. Mm. So why isn't she famous? Because the shows were broadcast live. There was no videotape.
No reruns.
No reruns, precisely. The idea of reruns was anathema. They said, why would anybody want to see the same show twice? So when people hear the phrase First Lady of Television, people often assume that means Lucy.
Yeah. Well, I guess hearing that now makes me think that Lucille Ball is the First Lady of syndicated television, because it was Ricky who was involved with making sure that the tapes were saved and able to be repeated on both coasts and across the country.
Precisely. So why am I writing this play? Because the last time we spoke on this podcast was a couple of years ago when my play Chagall in School was playing. Mm-hmm. And the response to that play was very positive, very encouraging. So I got a call from B.J. Jones, the artistic director of Northlight Theater. And 15 or so years ago, he tells me, he saw a documentary about Gertrude Berg. It was one of those things where he was in New York, he was roamed in, they still had those little art houses, you know? And he thought this would be an interesting idea for a play. So he told me the story and I said, well, I got a copy of the documentary, which is really well made and really interesting. So then there are three questions. And I learned this years ago from an interview I heard with Isaac Bashevis Singer, the novelist, short story writer. And he said, before I write a story, I have to ask three questions. Mm. First question is, do I have a story to tell? And the second question is it a story worth telling?
Yeah.
And the third question is, am I the one who should tell this story? Mm-hmm. So I found, you know, a lot of material about Gertrude Berg. There's one really good biography about her. I went to New York and spent a full week from dawn to dusk at the Museum of Broadcasting. There are a few kinescopes of the Goldberg show, so I watched those. And so I know there's an interesting story there. And I should also tell you that the story becomes particularly interesting because the play takes place in 1950, and this is all true.
Yeah.
At the height of her fame, the blacklist, the House Un-American Activities Committee, was in full throttle. And her co-star, who was a wonderful actor named Philip Loeb, was in this thing that came out called Red Channels, and he was accused of being a commie.
Yeah.
So it is up to Gertrude, because she owns the show, to either cut him loose or stay loyal to him and risk the show being canceled by the sponsors.
And boom, there's your plot, right?
And there's the plot. There's the dilemma. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, so it's a great story. And it took me a while, but I really wanted to tell this story myself.
Yeah.
And so what I've done, and I think this is interesting, the angle I took on it was that I've written an episode of the show, The Goldbergs. So the set of the play is the set of the TV show. So we're watching them rehearse, because since the shows were broadcast live, they have to do a dress rehearsal in the afternoon. So we're watching the rehearsal, and then during breaks and other things come up where we also get into the drama. So there's like the comedy of the show and the drama of what's going on behind the scenes simultaneously.
I would imagine that writing an episode of a famous television sitcom just for the purposes of your play requires a certain amount of, as William Shakespeare would say, chutzpah. Right. Was that one of the bigger challenges, creating an episode?
Well, it you know, in the limited experience I had writing in LA, I had to write a couple of spec scripts. So it was kind of like that, really.
Yeah.
I knew the characters. It's one set. So it was really like writing a little play, yeah. You know, for these characters. So really the challenge was then filling out the other characters, the quote unquote real life characters.
Mm-hmm.
Because other than Gertrude Berg, there is not much biographical information about the other characters. It's a cast of six. So besides Gertrude, there's three other actors that play her family in the sitcom show. And then there's a director of the show, mm-hmm. who comes in and out during breaks. So I really had, I had the license to create those characters.
Yeah. Well, and you have the Chicago treasure, Cindy Gold, our mutual friend, playing Gertrude. And that is just perfect casting. Did that open up ideas for you, knowing the actor you were going to be writing for?
Well, as soon as BJ and I started talking about this, it was almost in unison. We said, and can we get Cindy?
Yeah.
So, you know, but you want to hear about a dream cast, a dream team. Because yep. Not only do I have Cindy, you know, these other people, Bill Dick,
yep.
Joe Dempsey, Mark David Kaplan, Sarah Price, and Ty Fanning. So, and we've all been together last summer, not this past summer, but last summer, we did a workshop of the play in Steamboat Springs, Colorado, at a place called the Colorado New Play Festival, where BJ got us in. So that was great. So we've already spent a lot of time together. And so at the beginning of rehearsals now, I'm really excited to actually get this thing up on its feet.
Hi, I'm Courtney Sale, and I am the Nancy L. Donahue Executive Artistic Director at Merrimack Repertory Theater, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This fall of 2025, we'll be touring all the great books abridged at various venues we'll announce soon, and the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with James Sherman, whose hilarious new play, The First Lady of Television, is having its world premiere at Chicago's Northlight Theater from September 4th to October 5th, 2025. I had the privilege of reading a previous draft because Mark David Kaplan wasn't available. So I came in and read it, and I was amazing. But Mark David Kaplan is much better casting, more perfectly cast in the role. How much changed then from that reading to the Colorado reading and now to the point where you're putting it on its feet in rehearsals?
Quite a bit. That first reading, and that was the very first table read, and I was thrilled that you were there. The reading took 60 minutes. It barely felt like a full-length play, and the intent was for it to be a full-length play.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is always the case, but it's certainly more common for me to come in with too much in the first draft.
Yeah.
Now, usually the process is pruning it down and focusing things in.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
Yeah. So this was a different kind of experience. It allowed me to spend more time. And this was a lot of the process going through that workshop. Again, getting to know more about the characters.
Yeah.
And letting them looking at more of the primary relationships, but then getting down into the secondary relationships and really having many more opportunities for behavior among these characters. And that's,
yeah, that's because one of the things that I noticed in the reading that I was part of is that you learn almost more about Philip Loeb in the play than you do about Gertrude herself. And I remember thinking, oh, I hope we find out more about Gertrude in the play, because I don't want to have to read a director's note or a display in the lobby about who Gertrude was. I want to find out about her in the play. Is that something that you worked on?
Somewhat. Here's my thing, you know, I don't know how this happened, but this is now the third play in a row I've written that's based on a real person, because I did the Ben Heck show.
Yeah.
And a lot of the impetus for that was that I just wanted more people in the world to know about Ben Hecht. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with Chagall. Mm-hmm. But my feeling about plays that are telling stories of true people, we often see those. And what bugs me is when I see a play like that and it's a book report.
Yeah. It's a Wikipedia entry. Yeah.
Right. And that's not what interests me so much as finding this moment in time, like any play, you know, like Hamlet. We learn a lot of the background. But the most important thing is what's happening to these characters at this particular moment.
What did you find? What did you add that made it a full length? And I'm putting that in air quotes, full length play, because it doesn't have an intermission, right? It's a long one act.
Right. It's not an intermission. Yeah.
So what, aside from the length of it, made it more of a complete evening for you?
Well, like I said, the primary relationship is between Gertrude and Philip Loeb.
Yeah.
And there are other people there. Yeah. So it was finding more explanation between Gertrude and the other characters. And also between the characters themselves.
Yeah.
You know, where there are other tensions going on that need to be resolved. So once I had a better understanding of who these characters were, that gave me the opportunities for more behavior to explore, which gave me more pages.
Cool. Well, how much, as rehearsals begin, as we record, how much or how little will you be in the room? Is BJ welcoming you into the room, or is he saying, all right, get lost, kid, we got to work on your play?
No, I'm welcome. And listen, this is what I live for. This is my absolutely favorite time, is to be in a rehearsal room with the actors and the director and the designers. And, you know, I started as an actor, so I have complete understanding of what they're doing, and I know enough to keep my mouth shut and let them explore, you know. I'm not going to come in and go, oh, well, no, here's the way you're supposed to read that line, and this is how that's supposed to look. So I'm just thrilled to be in the room with these people.
Yeah, it's tricky for those of us who wear multiple hats to stay in our lane.
Right. And once we get into rehearsal, you know, it's kind of like, okay, now everybody's doing their bit and I'm the script department.
Yeah.
And I've always been open to questions that the actors have or the director has or the designers have. And if somebody makes a suggestion, Let's talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah. The best suggestion wins.
You know, we have the great privilege of working in Chicago theater. So we know that the egos are checked at the door.
Yeah.
We know that, you know, and this goes back to me spending years working on many plays with my mentor, Dennis Zajac at Victory Gardens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always about, let's get this play to be as good as we can.
Yeah.
And everybody's a part of that. And, you know, the magic word ensemble.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and you just came off, you just had a run of a show where you were an actor in a show at the American Blues Theater. Did that sort of return to the footlight side of the stage kind of go, God, I can't wait to get back into rehearsal again with my play?
Well, it was so much fun. And I haven't acted in a play with rehearsals and a cast, everything. I did the Ben Eck show. But prior to that, I haven't been in a play with other people since like the 90s.
That's right. The Ben Eck show is a solo show. Yeah.
Right. So what do they need me for? Well, it was written by Charles Smith, mm-hmm. who's a dear friend, was a fellow member of the Playwrights Ensemble of Victory Gardens. So we go way back. And the lead actor was a longtime member of the American Blues Theater Ensemble, Dennis Cockrum. And in the play, Dennis played this old vaudevillian, and there were these like fantasy sequences where we see him do some of the old routines with his old partner.
Yeah.
So Dennis said, call Sherman, because right. Dennis and I have known each other for 40 years. So that kind of connection was just like putting on, you know, warm slippers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was, and I got to work with Chuck Smith for the first time, which was a thrill.
Fascinatingly, Chuck Smith, the director, is no relation to Charles Smith, the playwright.
Yeah. I think that a lot. So it was just fun to be on the boards again. And it does, not that I need it, but does once again heighten my appreciation of what the actors are doing.
Once it's open, do you go home and go, ah, thank goodness, that's that taken care of? Or do you go back and watch every performance and see how the audience responds and make changes or whatever?
I will be there for all the previews. I have been known to make changes in previews.
Yeah.
Because what I've always found to be the ultimate irony of what we do as playwrights is we write the play, we get the actors and directors and designers and the sets and the props and the costumes. The most important element is what we get last, which is the audience. And they are, it's amazing.
Yeah.
And I have been known to make significant changes when I am in the room with them.
Yeah.
I see how they respond. It's kind of a gut thing, but I'm listening and they will tell you when they're in, when they're kind of leaning back, you know, and that's really helpful. Opening night, I am sitting in the bar next door. and then I'm sure I'll check in, you know, from time to time and see how things are going. Sometimes, you know, and of course some directors do this too, you know, after the show's run for a few weeks, we may show up to take out some of the improvements.
Yeah.
But that's down the road.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Comedy Podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. James Sherman's new play, The First Lady of Television, runs at Chicago's Northlight Theater from September 4th to October 5th, 2025. Go to northlight.org for more information. Then send us your unsung cultural heroes via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. Or throw our comments to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, reducedshakespeare.com, or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks as always to sitcom dad Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Tori Henderson. No reason, it's just random.
Special thanks to Courtney Sale, producing artistic director of the Merrimack Repertory Theater. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 978 2934ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Opening night, it's out of my hands.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. You know, playwrights never finish their plays. They just abandon them.
Right, that you have to give it over. Yeah, you have to let it go.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.